Chapter 1 Monk sat beside the fire and felt the heat seep through him. Outside was the kind of clinging silence that only fog brings. The river was shrouded, and dusk came early this time of the year. Monk was unusually conscious of being happy. This deep sense of peace was not a casual thing. He looked at Hester in the chair opposite him and found himself smiling. He was not aware of the first knock on the door. It was only when Hester stood up that he realized what the sound had been. He rose quickly. "No, I'll go." Reluctantly, he went into the hall and unlocked the front door. Sir Oliver Rathbone stood on the step, the porch light glistening on drops of fog that covered his gray hat and the shoulders of his coat. His lean face was without its usual aura of wit. There was no wind at all, and yet a breath of chill accompanied him. "Come in," Monk said quickly, stepping back to allow him room. Rathbone obeyed and pulled the door closed behind him. He shivered, as if suddenly aware of how cold he was. He took off his hat and coat and hung them on the hall stand, stuffing his gloves in his pockets. "It must be bad," Monk said. They had known each other for years, in fact, for nearly all of the 15 years since the Crimean War had ended in 1856. There was no need for social niceties.
"It is," Rathbone replied.
He both worked and lived on the north side of the Thames, so for him to have crossed the river to visit Monk at home meant the issue could not wait, even just until morning. Monk led the way to the sitting room and opened the door into the warmth.
"I'm sorry," Rathbone said to Hester.
They, too, had known each other long and well. Rathbone had met her when she was a nurse, newly home from the Crimea, and still believing she could change the world of medical treatment and its attitude toward nursing, and women in medicine in general. That seemed like a long time ago now. But the cause, even now, was hardly begun.
"You look frozen," she said with understanding. "Tea?"
Then she reconsidered.
"Whiskey?"
Rathbone smiled very slightly.
"No, thank you. I need to keep a clear head."
He turned to Monk.
"I know I'm intruding, but it can't wait."
He sat down in one of the chairs next to the fire. Hester said nothing, but she prepared to listen intently. Monk merely nodded and took the seat opposite Rathbone.
"A man came to me an hour or two ago in a state of extreme distress."
Rathbone's expression reflected his own understanding of pain.
"His wife has been kidnapped. Her life is forfeit if he does not pay a ransom, which is a fortune. He is a wealthy man, and has succeeded in raising the amount."
"When was she taken?"
Monk interrupted.
"I know what you must be thinking," Rathbone replied with a bleak smile. "How did he raise the money so quickly? Unless he had it in a safe somewhere, this would not have been possible. She was taken yesterday, which, if you remember, was actually a beautiful day for this time of year. He was given until tomorrow. At about this time. The exchange is to take place."
"Why the devil didn't he report it immediately?"
Monk interrupted him.
"He intends to pay. What he wants of us is..."
"Us?"
Monk cut across him again.
"If he wants the police, he should have gone to the regular London police, and yesterday, for heaven's sake, when the trail was hot."
Rathbone shook his head.
"He doesn't. She was taken from the riverbank, which makes it your area, and the ransom is to be paid on Jacob's Island, which..."
"I know what it is."
Even though several years had passed since that bleak case, Monk shivered involuntarily at the memories of the name Jacob's Island conjured in his imagination. He could still see the fat man sinking slowly into the tidal ooze, his mouth open, screaming, until the mud cut him off, and inch by inch...